Well, I'm going to pick up here today and just talking about this here, somewhat, not this particular entry, but just talking about our confession or the words of our mouth and looking at the scripture in Hebrews 3:1, the high priest of our confession, or profession, as the King James said. So let's turn over to Hebrews 3:1 and let's take a look at this. The more you meditate on the scriptures, the more light comes, and the more you meditate upon it, it just, you look at it and go, what have I been thinking and saying? And this says here in the King James, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, this word profession actually means there's a couple of Greek words. One is homologia, and it actually means the root word is homologeo. But it means, homologia or profession means confession or profession, means what one confesses. But the word, the origin of that word, homologeo, it means to say the same thing as another. That's what that means. Homologeo means to say the same thing as another or to agree with. It means to profess something. It means to declare or speak out. So what this is saying here is it says here in the scripture, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Well, our profession is to be what? It means to say the same thing as he has said about us. That's what that means. We're to say the same thing. We're to agree with or profess what he has said about us. And so when we look about, look on this, just in this particular book, Christ the Healer, I'm just going to excerpt a paragraph here, some comments that he made from Christ the Healer, and regarding our confession. He says here, it means to believe and say what God says about our sins, our sicknesses, and everything else included in our redemption. So we're to say the same thing that God says about what he's done in us and for us. So he goes on, he said, confession is an affirmation, or you could say it's something you are affirming, a Bible truth we have embraced. So we're confessing or affirming or agreeing with a Bible truth that we've embraced. Confession is simply believing with our hearts and repeating with our lips God's own declaration of what we are in Christ. This is what he's written in his book here. And he says, the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes ye were healed. We are to believe and say the same thing. So if he says ye were healed, we are to do what? He's the apostle and high priest of our profession. He says we're healed, then we're to say the same thing. When our affirmation, I'm continuing this here from F.F. Bosworth. When our affirmation is the word of God, he watches over it to make it good. That's Jeremiah 1:12. Confession is faith's way of expressing itself. So your faith or your confession, you could say it this way, your confession is your faith speaking. That would be what, you know, you could say faith is. Or I'm sorry, your confession is. Your confession is your faith speaking. It's your confession is your faith expressed, right? I'm expressing what I believe. I'm saying what I believe. I'm saying what God says about me. Not this is what that admiral did. He said, his wife said, honey, the doctor said, he said, I don't care what the doctor said. I believe God said this to me. I believe God will heal me. And so he said, I understand, but I believe I'm going to live. And he began to say, without teaching, without, he just was following his heart, that I believe God is, if he can heal a headache, I believe he's got as much power to heal a headache, he can heal my liver. If he can heal your liver, then he could heal your heart. If he could heal your heart, he could heal your kidneys. If he can heal your kidneys, he can heal your eyes. If he can heal your eyes, he can heal something else. He quickeneth, right, the dead. So here, let's take a look at Romans 10:8. And these are familiar scriptures, Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, 9, and 10. See, always remember, it's not that we ignore, we're not ignoring the symptoms. We see them, and again, we're to do what? Believe and say what God says. He didn't say, believe what the doctor said and say what the doctor said. Because the doctor, if it doesn't agree with God, then who has the final say? God has the final say, and I need to be in agreement with him. If he says I'm healed, then I'm healed. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we ignore things or recommendations from a doctor? You need to pray about it. You need to be led by your heart and your spirit. And there's times that you may say, well, you know what? I need to get another opinion. I don't know if I agree with that. Not telling you to ignore their instructions, but you need to pray about it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 and 9 and 10, it says, but what saith it? The word, what is nigh thee? The word. Who's the apostle and high priest of our confession? Jesus. Who is Jesus? The word. So this says here, the word is nigh thee, where? Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, what does Paul call it? The word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt do what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man does what with the heart? He believes unto righteousness, and with what? The mouth is confession is made unto salvation. So here that our confession, or you could say our saying, your confession is what? Saying the same thing that God says. So this here, if we say something that God says, or the same thing that God says, it's certainly going to be by faith, isn't it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that is what? Something that we believe, and we confess something. But isn't it interesting here that believing and confessing what you believe came before the experience. So here, you see here, it says, for with the heart man does what? He believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the believing and the confessing comes before the receiving. You know, the you receive it when you pray, but you understand what I mean. The actual experience of something, you receiving the manifestation of something. something you can see. So you receive that. So we have to do what? The confession comes first, and then what happens? He watches over his word to perform it. Our confession comes first, then he does what? He responds. And then we experience the results of that, right? So our confession that causes us to experience or receive salvation. Well, this word salvation means deliverance. It's the word soteria. It means deliverance, preservation, safety, salvation. It means health. So you have to believe in the heart unto righteousness, and confession is made unto my salvation, my deliverance. I believe what God says about me. I believe my body is healed. I believe that strength is coming into my body. I believe that every cell works in my body. I believe. And my faith is expressed in what I say. Isn't it interesting when you think about it? God, we're made, you know, when you go back and look at it, people ask these questions, you know, they just don't read the Bible. They go, well, why, you know, they're trying to make us like a monkey. They're trying to say we came from a monkey. We came from an amoeba or something. No, we're made in the image and likeness of God, Genesis 1 says. We're made in his image and likeness. Not in the image and likeness of some monkey or something that was evolved. That's goofy. That's just ungodly. No, we're made in his image. What did he do? He believed and spoke things into existence. That's what we do. We believe and confess unto salvation. So here you could say, there's no healing without what? Faith in God's word. And then you've got to do what? Confess it or say it. You've got to confess it and say it. So you can see here, this is a pattern or a principle that we have to believe what God has said about us in our redemptive package, you could say. You've got to believe what he says about us. You know, you always hear, you know, Pastor Osteen, when he was alive, he'd say, this is my Bible. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do, and so forth, right? But that's a good confession to make. And you say it. I have that. So that means I have redemption because I believe that he was raised from the dead. And I confess that with my mouth. I believe he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And I'm saved. Right? And so we can see that. What are we supposed to confess? We're supposed to confess what he says. What did he say? He said, Jesus bore my what? Pains and carried my sicknesses. That's Isaiah. I'm to say that. Whose own self bore what? My sins, 1 Peter 2:24. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So if I were, then I am. I am healed. My body is healed. You know, it's interesting, the more we say these confessions, we speak the word of God, the Holy Ghost will tell us things in life where we need to make corrections. If we just, see, we're the believer, he's the director, he's the one that leads us into all truth. He's the one that will guide us or cause that word to be fulfilled. We're trying to figure out, well, I'm not doing this, or I'm not doing, you know, even goofy stuff like saying, well, I'm not going to the doctor, I'm not going to follow some stuff. No, you're to do what? Believe and confess that I'm healed. He may say to you, you need to do this, or you need to do this, or you need to do this. Each one of us is different. He knows your body. He put it together. He made it. And so for us, we're to do what? Believe that we're healed, confess it, and then let him lead us. Let him direct us as to what to do in life. Isn't that so? Man, I'm a witness to that. I wish I could hear an amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's just the truth. Some people just get tripped up with stuff. And they decide that they're going to decide what they need to do and not do. And they miss it. You know, if you just be quiet, just like this story with this man who was the admiral, if you'll just listen to your heart real quiet, you get quiet, you listen to your heart, you'll hear your spirit say things in here. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit. And it's really the voice of your spirit speaking to you. That's really what it is. You'll hear and you'll say, it sounds like me. It is you. It is your spirit speaking to you. Your heart, influenced by the Holy Ghost. He'll speak to your spirit and you'll hear your spirit speak. Your own heart. Do this, do that. And sometimes we miss it because we think, ah, I ain't doing that. And it was your heart telling you, do this. And we miss it. Isn't it true? It's so true. Because we've become so accustomed to our own thinking, our own heart, and things that come up in our heart, we just, I'm not doing that. Because it wasn't something spectacular, you know, da-da-da-da, this is God speaking. No, you just heard your own heart speaking. You heard your spirit and you ignored it. But yet, he's trying to fulfill what you've been confessing and saying, right? Isn't it true? It's so true. I've ignored it and paid the price. And I got smarter as years go by and you go, that was him speaking. I need to make a correction. I remember, just like it was yesterday, in some ways, I remember standing in the shower in pain after a year, and I was standing in the shower, just standing under the faucet head, enjoying it, and I heard down here, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And it was my spirit. It was my spirit, and it was gentle. It was soft. Wasn't anything... But I was hurting. And so the point was, I could have ignored that and I'd be dead. Be in heaven. But I wouldn't have fulfilled what God had for me to do. Because I ignored his voice or ignored hearing me. I heard it. It wasn't loud. It was just still small voice. And a lot of times we're looking for an answer. We're making confessions and we're going, what's going on? And you're thinking about it. You may not even be voicing it. You're thinking about it and up comes this thought and you go, I'm not doing that. Or you ignore it. You just pass it off. You just think, well, and it was him. It was your heart speaking to you, giving you direction. I'm telling you. Yeah. I count up myself. I looked at it one time. I said, you know what? There's three or four times in my life that if I had ignored, there were a few times I did ignore it. And it almost cost me my life. One time, just close. Real close. And I ignored it, just running here in the ministry, running. Got to get somewhere. Not good. So you just, you know, when those gentle nudges come, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. because it can mean the difference between what? Life and death. Blessing and cursing. And it can just be, we need not ignore them. Psalm 103. Let's look at verse 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 103. Says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, what? O my soul, and do what? Forget not all his benefits. That's what we're to be focused on. That's what we're to be confessing, his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Who does what? Who did what? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth some of thy diseases, all thy diseases, he healeth them. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 107, just flip a few chapters over. Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent his what? His word, and he healed them. Hallelujah. And did what? He delivered them from their destructions. Praise God. Let's go over to Proverbs 4, verse 20, verse 21 and 22. Proverbs 4. It says, my son, attend to my what? My words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of where? Your heart. For they are life unto those that find them. And what? Health to all their flesh. Health, health, health. Life to them that find them, and health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. When it talks about heart, it doesn't mean your organ heart. It just means the heart. When we talk about, you say the heart of something, you mean what? The center or the core of something. Some of these other translations I like here, verse 23, when it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. I like this. Some of these other translations, the New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Boy, that's pretty powerful. Guard your heart with all diligence, or this says above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The God's Word translation says, God, guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. Source of your life flows from it. So what does that mean? It means healing flows from it. Deliverance flows from it. Wisdom flows from it. The source of our life flows from it. The answers we need flow from it. Hallelujah. God communicates with our heart. And the answers come from our heart, because the Holy Spirit, God, lives in our heart. The complete Jewish Bible says, above verse 23 of Proverbs 4, it says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. Good News Translation, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. I like that. Be careful how you think. Guard your heart, for your life is shaped by your thoughts. So we need to watch what we think. And so our confession, you know, our confession rules us, doesn't it? Our confession rules us. And it is it'll dominate. If you get enough of God, if you get enough of God's word, it will what? It'll dominate your heart. And that's true of, you put enough negative stuff in your heart, it'll dominate also. So don't allow your confession to destroy the effectiveness of God's word in your heart. Don't allow your confession or a negative confession destroy the effectiveness of God's word. In other words, you believe it and then say, yeah, but, right? You say, I believe God's word, and then turn around and say something else, and it affects, or as you could say, it can impact the effectiveness of it, can shut it down, right? So we want to watch that. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 12 and 13. You've got to believe, but then you have to say. And the believing comes from the word of God. Believing or faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received, see here, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which does what? Effectually worketh also in you that what? Believe. So you've got to believe in order for it to do what? Effectually work in you. Right? So that means that if you don't receive it as the word of God, then it may not effectually work in you. If you look at Hebrews chapter 4, that pretty much says the same thing. Again, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Similar statement here. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached. See, this is similar thing. You know, you heard the word of God preached by us. This says here, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not what? Profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That's pretty much the same thing that Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. Same thing to the church of Thessalonica. He said, it works effectually in you that believe. Faith has got to be mixed with it. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but then we've got to do what? Say the same thing. That's what we're saying. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. That means we've got to say what he said. We've got to confess and decree and say the same thing. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. We've been looking at this. I'm just going to highlight this again. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful or be anxious. Some say don't worry about one thing. But what? In everything, by what? Prayer and supplication. I'm reading from the King James. With what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And what? Verse 7. So in other words, this is the result of our prayers and supplications and thanksgivings. and the what? The peace of God. So we had to believe. We had to bring our prayers and supplication and thanksgiving. That was a demonstration of something we believed, right? I believe, God, you're going to work on my behalf. I give you thanks. I thank you that you're working. I'm not thanking you for the problem, but I'm thanking that you're right in the midst of this problem we're walking through, and you're working in here. You're working in this situation. You're healing my body. You're restoring it. You're bringing it about to change it. You know, we think about this. If you're doing everything you know to do right, you know, you're not sitting down having a gallon of ice cream. I'm just kidding. But you're doing everything right. And your body is still acting up. He's still the quickener. He still quickeneth by his spirit those parts that aren't working right. But we need to be listening. Are we doing everything right? Are we getting enough rest? Are we not in bitterness or anger or unforgiveness? All these things that can muddy up, you know, those kind of, you know, the healing power of God working in us. Are we not in faith? Are we mixing faith with it? Are we doing everything right that we know to do? Well, then, at that point, if we are, then what does it say? Hold fast to your confession of faith, for he's faithful that promised, right? He's faithful. And we continue to keep doing what? Thanking him. Thank you, Lord, that you're working in the midst of this. Thank you, Father, that you're healing my body. Thank you that you're working in it. And I believe this, right? So what does this continue? It says, and the peace of God, which does what? Passeth all understanding, shall do what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, after you've done that, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest, just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Well, that sounds like all that God has confessed about us. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. I highlighted that word think for me. Think on what? These things. Proverbs 23:7, he says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or you could say, as a man thinketh, so is he. So we need to make sure that we're thinking on the right things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're thinking on the right things, and we're saying the right things. Amen. Let me just read these two scriptures. If you want to turn there, you can. I referenced it before, Jeremiah 1:12. And he said, then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Jeremiah 1:12. God says, I will hasten my word to perform it. But here's another scripture verse that kind of says something similar in a way. Ezekiel chapter 12 in the Old Testament here, verse 25. Ezekiel 12, verse 25. It says, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? I like this scripture. I'm telling you, when I saw this today, I said, yeah, I like this. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord. It's a good thing to be on the right side. Be on the right side, right? So be good to be saying what he says. And be good to say, look, Lord, you said. So you said you'd perform it. You said you'd do it. So you said that you meet all my needs according to your riches in glory, then I believe that. And you said you do it, so therefore I'm going to rest. I believe that. All my needs are met. I thank you, Father. You said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm going to say so. I'm redeemed. You said, let him that let the weak say, I'm what? I'm strong, so that I am strong. I may not feel strong, but I'm going to say I'm strong. I'm going to say I'm strong. I remember I heard something recently. I don't know if I was listening to something. Always have something listening to sometimes in the house. But something that Reverend Keith Moore was saying, and he said when he was younger, he went on a missions trip, and he said they were either in Guatemala or somewhere. And he said, you know, they told him not drink the water, don't drink the water, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that meant don't brush your teeth with the water either. So he was in there, and he said he was brushing his teeth, and somebody in the other room, one of the guys in the room said, hey, he said, you're not using the water in there, are you? And he went, well, it's too late now. So he said the next morning he got up, and he said it was like World War III in his stomach. And he said he knew, this is what he said. He said God didn't speak to him, but he knew. He said, if I give in to this, it's not going to go good. It's not going to go well. And so he said he decided to get up and put one foot in front of the other and go out and do what they were there to do during that missions trip. And he said it was rough sledding for the first few hours. He said he felt horrible. But he said he kept his words right. He said the other guys, they stayed in and stayed in bed. They didn't get up. And he said by midday, he's realizing, hey, I feel pretty good. All those symptoms left. They went away. And he said, them others that stayed in bed, he said they were in bed for about 2 weeks during that trip. He said they were on and off. They were sick. So sometimes you're going to have to just, you know, you're going to say, you know what? I don't think I should stay in bed here and baby this. I'm going to get up and go. And the healing power of God, just like the 10 lepers, they were healed as they went. You think about that story when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. They were no better when they left. And they were what? Healed as they went. So sometimes, I'm not saying, you know, this is where you need to listen down here and hear, you know. You need to listen in your heart. Do I need to lay down or get up? Sometimes laying down and not getting up is not a good thing. Hebrews chapter 4, let's go over to verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Familiar scripture, but verse 12, 13, and 14 says, for the what? The word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hallelujah. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Verse 14, seeing then, talking about our high priest, Jesus, the apostle and high priest of what? Our profession. Seeing then that we have what? We have a great high priest that is what? Passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us do what? Hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. What does that mean? Saying the same thing he says. Saying the same thing. Don't say something different. Don't unhook. See, I think here's the thing. What I'm getting at, where I remember when I think about some things that I did, and we all have done this, do things that aren't correct. Making a profession of faith is not making a profession of, how do I want to say this? Not the outcome, but making a confession or determining how it's supposed to be manifested in our body, how we're supposed to go about doing something. All we're supposed to confess is what? The word of God, that I'm healed, that my body's functioning properly. We're not to confess that I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. That comes through direction by the Holy Ghost. But our profession, going back to the same thing, what does it say? Profession or confession is saying the same thing that he says. Now, if he tells you to do something, then go about doing it. Go do it. But the main thing is, he's the apostle and high priest. This particular scripture here, I like, because it says here that we're talking about what? The word of God. What's our profession? The word of God. He did what? He bore my pains and carried my sicknesses. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens, gives life to what? My mortal body. So that's what we're to profess. We're not to profess or confess something that God hasn't said. Does everybody understand that? Now, if God reveals to you and says, do X, Y, Z, well, then I obey that. But our profession is the word of God. Our confession is the word of God. That's what our profession of faith is. So, let me read this in verse 14. This is the Amplified. It says, inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. That's what our confession of faith is. Our confession of faith is in him and what he has said. Right? So we're to hold fast our confession of what Christ has done for us in order that it may be done in us. So our confession of faith is in what he's done for us so that it can be done in us. You see. We have to do what? The Passion Translation says we must cling in faith to all we know to be true. For we have a magnificent King, priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in our frailty. Hallelujah. So God wants us. He's desirous of us to do what? Hold fast the profession of our faith, for he's faithful that promised. And this scripture we started with, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Consider that. Say what he has said about us. Say what the word says about us. That's what's been bought and paid for. That's what's been sealed with the blood of Jesus. That's our covenant. That is the, what is it? The last will and testament. That's a covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus. So we can go to God and say, thank you, Lord, that you said I'm healed. Then therefore I am. My body is restoring. My body's functioning properly. Every cell, every tissue, every organ is working properly. And we have to continue to profess that, believe it in our heart, and what? Confess with our mouth the word of faith which we've heard. I always say this, don't consult your feelings. Look to the word, look to the Bible. It is sharper than a what? Any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. So the word of God will lead us in the right direction. You know, we haven't seen, you know, when we think about this, you know, some of the things that have been unleashed on this earth through disease and different things, we're going to have to embrace the word of God and hold on to it and confess it, just like some of these earlier evangelists and missionaries, John G. Lake and some of them, where they got so full of the word of God, so full of life, that it repelled sickness and disease when it touched them. And so that's the witness. That's the witness that the world will see. You see? So for us, I believe we can have supernatural health. Our bodies can correct itself. This isn't something that we just hope to be so. No, we believe and know it to be so. That this body of mine will operate properly. This body of mine will function properly. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean we're going to live here forever. And when our time comes to go, if Jesus tarries, we can just praise God and leave our bodies, not sick and diseased. Amen. I believe it. I mean, if they did that in the old covenant, we got a better covenant. Why can't we leave our bodies? I mean, when I hear my parents, when they were telling me they would go to the nursing home, when in a Catholic church, just do, you know, bring communion to people and so forth. They said there was one lady, she had her wits about her. She was 105. She said she took no medicine. She read the paper. She was sharp-witted. And they said they went back one time. They said she just fell asleep. She just fell asleep. I said, yeah. Why not? Just leave your body. Time to go. Bye. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you're so good to us. We thank you, Father, that even when we don't think about you, or even when we haven't thought about you, you constantly have us on your mind. And we thank you, Father, that even when we miss it, you direct us into the truth. You direct us in the right way. We thank you, Father, that our bodies are healed. We thank you that these bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we thank you that the supernatural life of God is working in these bodies, causing every cell and every part to function normally. And we thank you for it. Thank you in the name of Jesus that we're healed from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Thank you that we have strength in these bodies to do what we need to do. And we thank you, Father, that just like Joshua and Caleb, when they got into their 80s, they said, I feel as young as I do, or I have as much strength as I had in my 40s. So we thank you, Father, for strength. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for health in our bodies, to not only do what you've called us to do, but to be a witness here in this earth, that you're alive and your supernatural life is in us to help us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.